If we want to list every way Spreaker can help podcast publishers, well, we need a podcast of our own. Whether you're in charge of long-running series with extensive backlogs or countless limited series, you can organize and monetize your entire catalog with Spreaker. With Spreaker's customizable publisher plan, you can add collaborators, analyze extensive listener analytics, and even share exclusive content through custom RSS feeds. And that's just for starters. Head to Spreaker.com to learn more. That's Spreaker.com.
Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. We are broadcasting live from the Firefall studio. The only place you hear us live is Spreaker.com. We can also be heard on Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. Archived, download, you can get them any way you can, but here we are live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. The Porch Online Bible Study has been here to take a deeper look at how the early church served the Lord, restoring the priesthood of the believer and regaining that world-shaking influence the early church had. We do that by digging deeper into Scripture. We don't filter it down. We don't water it down. We give it to you straight, the red-letter basic, because we believe the church age is still in effect. It's not over. The day of Pentecost is ongoing, and until the Lord comes back, we're going to keep working with that fire and keep using it. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch Econ, solomonsporch.org if you want to contact us. If you'd like to support us, go to firefalltalkradio.com. Go to the bottom of the main page. There are ways to do that. Make sure you bookmark us on your Spreaker site. We broadcast on the main Firefall Talk Radio account. That's where you'll find us, spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. We appreciate you, appreciate all our Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. Hey, pray for our brothers and sisters in North and South Carolina. Hurricane Florence is barreling down on them. And beside the wind and everything else and the surges, the wave surge, they're probably going to have 48 hours of nonstop flooding rain. Pray for the animals, those that are owned and in the homes and those that are wild, that the Lord leads them to shelter and protects them. This is a crazy time in nature, crazy time in the world, and we must stay prayed up. So in that regard, I praise the Lord for my home, my wife, my family, my furry kids, our little grandson, JJ, Jason James. I praise him for this technology and the ability to do this with you. I praise him for the protection that's available to all of us. I praise him for his ministry that he lets me work, for the dreams and the visions and the times we live in. It's very exciting to see the signs that he's getting ready to come back. I praise him for the healing virtues and the relationship we can have with him. I'm so thankful for that. And in regards to that, I pray that others would understand that too. I pray for the Middle East. It's very tense right now. It doesn't seem to be getting much attention on the news, but there are the rumblings and the drumbeats of war. We must keep our eyes on the Middle East. We must pray for Israel and for Jerusalem. And when praying for the peace of Israel, we are acknowledging the return of the Prince of Peace. Without him, there is none. I pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, for our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted and martyred for their faith in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm praying for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, and all of you. Let's get back to our divine design, and let's listen to the leading and the guiding of the Spirit. Over the past couple of weeks, the Lord has been answering my prayers and been showing me things to eliminate from my diet and taking a better look at the products that I buy and the harmful ingredients that are purposely put in there. So I'm praying for a quick restoration and healing. Let's get well. Let's get ready. We got a job to do. The King is coming back. Pray for the remnant to rise up, to wake up, to answer the call to action. Even if you can't do some of the things we talk about or share about or what SRT does, you can pray. You can get under your prayer shawl, get into your hidden place, get on your knees, and you can pray and you can intercede. Pray for the salvation and the restoration and the healing. Pray for the blessings to flow for those of us that are on the front lines. I pray that we would all prosper in accordance with his words for the benefit of the kingdom and that the open conduits of his blessings would flow. Stacy in Texas has a major praise report September 10th at 11:09 p.m. Texas time. Her 6-pound, 15-ounce girl, Hadassah, was born 18 and a half inches long. So her praise report for tonight is that she and Hattie are home. The whole family is back in one place, getting settled. She asked for prayer, and she has an unspoken prayer request for her mother. And she says, thank you to everyone who prayed us through the labor and the delivery. Kim in Fort Mitchell, she says she wants to praise the Lord for loving me through it all, for saving her soul in 2 years of being sober. Grateful for her children and all that he provides for them. Says, I praise him. I praise you, Father, for every minute I get to spend with you, for the moments when you reveal to me what matters and what doesn't. Says, Father, I thank you for being patient and gentle with me. She praises him for protecting her friend Stacy and the precious baby that was born, asking for prayers, guidance, patience, endurance, and a clear head in the walk that she's committed to. Going back to school is not going to be easy, but he's opened the door for her. She's going to walk through it. Praying for protection over her children and the Porch families, for prayer for the salvation of her mother and her husband, deliverance for her children. She's praying for provisions. Says, Father, protect your children and your animals from this hurricane approaching the coast and the islands. She thanks him for his sacrifice that he gave for all of us, and he gave it all. And said, Father, help me with forgiveness issues and hold my hand and guide me. And the most important thing I think she says in this entire prayer, it says, I surrender in Jesus' name. Lord, we surrender. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your guidance. We surrender to your benevolence and your greatness. You are the great I am, and there is none like you. Right now, we ask for your touch on our hearts, our homes, our minds, our souls, our spirits, and everything we have, and our loved ones, even our furry kids, Lord. We thank you for your protection, and we pray that you would be a shield about your children in North and South Carolina. Be the glory and the lifter of their head. Spare them, Father, spare them. We thank you that we can cry out to you, that we can boldly approach your throne of grace and mercy. Like little children scurrying and crying and laughing and screaming, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. And I know that you love it and you open your arms and you are a loving, awesome Father. You are Abba. We thank you for this ability to study your word and to be ready and to serve you and to work with you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection and the empty tomb. Thank you for the upper room and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the fire still falls, and we ask it to fall upon us right now and upon those that have never felt it. Let them be filled in the name of Yeshua. Let the gifts and the Spirit be present. The gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit be present in their lives. Pray for deliverance right now on those that are in bondage, those that have been hooked by the enemy like I had been, like Kim was, and my partner in SRT, Joe, was. We were tricked, we were deceived, we went down a dark path, and you left the 99, and you came and got us. So we ask that you would send help, Lord. Send the blessings to us. Send it to SRT so we can go confront the enemy, set the captives free, rescue the lambs that have wandered off, beat back the wolves. I pray for true shepherds to rise up and guide your flock and to serve you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and we worship you. And we ask that you would bless this time. Let your spirit fall. Let your love flow. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we are talking about rest, his complete rest. Go with me to Matthew 11, starting with verse 28. Bibles should be open. You should be ready to receive. The red letter basics. Lord speaking, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amplified amplifies it, which I guess is why they call it the Amplified Bible. And I wanted to share that as well. Let's build them on it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. See, but this promise was also available to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 6, verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. See, rest was available to them, but under a different covenant, but it was still available to them. His desire is for us to have rest in a restless world. He doesn't want us to be heavy laden, suffering under the load of religious responsibilities laid on by priests and rabbis and scribes and Pharisees. He doesn't want us to feel fatigue, to work hard, to toil, to be weary as a hard worker who doesn't get any breaks, doesn't get any rest. That's not what his relationship is supposed to be about, but that's exactly what religious ritual turns it into. The Lord railed at the Pharisees for this reason in Matthew 23, verse 4, where he says, they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Religion and religious expectations burden people, and it's not from the Father. And these leaders would burden them. They wouldn't help them carry them. They wouldn't help them. There was no compassion in their struggle. When I see somebody who claims to be a leader in the church who has no compassion, I know they're not of the great shepherd. The great shepherd cares about his flock. So he wants us to have rest, relief from this burden. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel is he did it all so that we could have it all. His words, according to Oswald Chambers, were not do this or don't do that, but they were come to me. When you're caught up in religion, when you're caught up in the rituals and the actions and all the things that he's referring to, you become fatigued. It becomes a chore. There's no life in it. I like a specific psalm, Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. We are to be still in the presence of the Lord. We are to wait patiently for him to act. And we shouldn't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. That's really easy to do. We live in a very wicked world. In fact, wickedness is the way of the world. Oh, we can see it. We can respond to it. But the truth is, we can never erase it. Only he can. He's the only one that can do that. And that will happen at his second coming. So right now, the world we're living in, the world that beats us up, weighs us down, criticizes us, would love to kill us, silence us. It's going to be that way until he comes back. We're not going to change it with laws and rules and regulations. I'm sorry, you're just not. We can have things that we are called to do and not to based upon the rule of law, but the fact is, morality cannot be legislated. We've proven that with the amount of babies we kill every day in abortion, with the amount of people that are drug addicted, or the crimes that are being done, the human trafficking. There's plenty of laws to deal with all that. That doesn't stop the enemy. And then eventually, there will be a final offer of rest. We see it in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That's the final offer of rest. But until that time, in between now and then, we have to deal with the world that we live in. A.W. Tozer says, abounding sin is the terror of the world, but abounding grace is the hope of mankind. Our heart's cry should be, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, that's what that means. Come, Lord. Come in the pain. Come in the suffering, the sin, and the wickedness. Come, Lord, end Hasatan, Satan, and his kingdom. But until that time, my hope, my blessed hope, is in his coming. My peace and my rest is in him. He tells us to be still, not to run around like chickens without our heads, or like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, running around, running around. We are to find peace. Peace in the midst of the storm, like in the one that's coming. That's not a call to be inactive, but it's a call to depend actively on the living God, upon the Lord. Our commitment, our commandment, is our commitment to ceasing from worry and resting in the Lord. Be still and rest in the Lord. Right now, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, whatever's weighing you down, whatever's pinning you in, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. The psalmist was telling the people of that day, and I think he's still speaking to us now. I know he speaks to me. The wicked are going to prosper, but I'm going to be patient. I'm going to have a renewed sense of dependence upon the Lord, and I'm going to have my pleasure in knowing him. You know, even though I got saved the way I got saved, radically, dramatically, before you knew it, I started getting caught up in religion. I started to get caught up in the leaven of the Pharisees. Began to become overburdened with ceremony until he broke me free. Thankfully, it didn't stay long. It wasn't for some a lifetime of ministry who suddenly wake up one day and are saddened by what they see of their past. Matter of fact, Pastor Shelley and I had a long conversation today. I like to call him on Bible study days because I'll be working on a scripture and it makes me think of him and I wonder what he would think and I wonder what he would teach. And then I call him up and we get to talk and an hour and a half later we've had church because we are the church. And we talked today about all the burdens we carried that were unnecessary, all the people that we ministered to that really had no intentions of being free. They wanted freedom from the torment, but not from the bondage. They didn't want to make the changes necessary to keep their freedom. I've looked back on that period of time where night after night, day after day, deliverances, spiritual warfare, going here, going there. I look back on it now, and there are many of those people that I would look at and say, no, you really don't want to be free. You don't want to do what it takes to stay free once we're done. And that's what the Lord saw. That's what he saw in the Pharisees and the Sadducees who started out with good intentions. But generation after generation, time after time, people who didn't have a calling to do what they were doing took a job. And they began to put the weight of the oral law from the Talmud upon them. Heavy burdens, rules and regulations, knowing full well that they could never complete them because they couldn't do them. 613 legal prohibitions and commands that the rabbis came up with. Knowing full well that the very religion they couldn't do was now being put upon people who didn't have the freedom not to do it. God gave us rules and regulations as a foreshadowing of Yeshua. But the fact was, like it says in James 2:10, whoever keeps the law as a whole but stumbles in a single instance of the law becomes guilty of breaking it all. I remember as this revelation came to me over 10 years ago, and I began to share it, people would attack me, they would write me, and they would tell me about all the, you know, the things that I had to do, and I was wrong, and I would write them. There are 613 aspects of the law. Did you break one of them today? And they wouldn't write back, and I would say, I know you have. I know they're impossible. Therefore, you have broken the entire law. It can't be done. If it could be, the Pharisees would have been good enough. They weren't. The Sadducees would have been good enough. They weren't. It took Yeshua, the Lamb of God, to fulfill the law on our behalf. See, religious leaders, not just the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, but the ones we have today, the ones that are on TV, the ones that are on stages, the ones that we venerate that we shouldn't, the Lord said to them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They would have rather have kept people in bondage than set them free. Freedom is what it's all been about. The Lord came to set the captives free. Get them out of bondage to the world, bondage to man, bondage to the enemy. Why is it so hard? Going back to Jeremiah 6, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring calamity upon this people. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from afar countries? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Even then, he wanted a relationship of intimacy, not a form and ritual, not external but internal. But the leaders and the people, they didn't want that. So they put on a yoke of bondage. I thought back to my days as a child, raised in the Roman Catholic Church, not knowing better, not having read the Bible, and definitely not knowing the Lord. I'd been sprinkled, I'd been slapped, I stood, I kneeled, I went through all the positions. I heard the 12 stations of the cross, but I never was invited to the cross. And then once I found it, once I met him, once I got set free, once the blood broke the chains off of me and kicked open the prison doors, I understood. He wanted me to be free. Free to love him. Free to choose him. Free to walk in that freedom. Free to help others. But I'm not saying that it's less demanding. I'm just saying that the yoke that he offers us is easy and it's light. No, he's told us to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, it's easy and it's light because he's given us his power through his Holy Spirit to make it possible. You see, when you go back and look, these scriptures, I read a lot. I've read them a lot since we started the porch. I'll read them all at once, and then I'll tell you what they are. Because it's one cohesive story. It's one message that when you see it, it's life-changing. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I took John 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 7, 16, 8, and 16, 13, and 14. That's one message. You see, the reason this yoke is easy and this burden is light is because of the Holy Spirit that he sent to us to walk with us. See, that's the rest he's offering, this helper that will abide with us forever. John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, parakletos, someone called to your side to exhort you and comfort you, and he will abide with you, take permanent residence forever. That's how you do it. It's also how people who claim to be saved don't, because the Holy Spirit's not present or active in their lives. The presence of the Holy Spirit isn't just the gifts. It isn't just speaking in tongues. It isn't just laying hands on the sick. It isn't just casting out demons. No, it must have the fruit of the Spirit. It must have all of the things that go with it. And the two of them, fruit and gifts, must work together. That's how we make it through. That's how we find rest in a restless world. And Paul and Peter and James and John and all the writers were always pointing toward that. Luke in his writing of Acts. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Can't give what you don't have, folks. For as the sufferings of Messiah abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Messiah. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we all suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. I threw in a little comment in the middle of that. You can't give what you don't have. You can't offer peace if you don't know what that is. He freed us. He freed us from the curse of sin and death. He freed us to find rest in a fallen world under the rule of the God of this world, Satan and his kingdom that are ruled by fallen angels and demonic spirits and the kingdoms of the world and the businesses and all the things that influence us are under their sway, under their control. They're blinded. They propagate sin and corruption and debauchery, not understanding that they will stand before him someday and have to give an account for that. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to stand fast in the liberty by which Messiah has made us free and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, 1 Corinthians 16:13 says. Watch and stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Saying be anchored in. Don't be like that ship without the anchor and the storm has come and you're rising up and crashing down and back and forth and the waves are going over the top and the mast and the sails are being ripped off and everything's being destroyed because you have no anchor. That freedom, that liberty is in the new covenant. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Ephesians 2:14-15. Relationship with him brings peace. That peace brings rest. Religious ritual brings bondage. Now you may wonder, this is real basic stuff. If that's the case, why do people gravitate towards religious ritual? Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm glad you asked. You can hide your bondage and your sins behind ritual. It's like the magician, the sleight of hand. You're paying attention to all the movement, all the show, all the other things, and not seeing what he's really doing. And that's what people who are caught up in ritual do. They want you to get caught up in how they look, how they dress, how they dance, how they walk, how they talk. They want you to see, but they don't want you to see. See, relationship forces you to be honest with him and with yourself. Let me say that again. Relationship, intimacy, closeness to him forces you to be honest with him and become honest with yourself. But I will tell you, peace comes from that honesty. Transparency brings you rest. You no longer have to keep up the facade. That facade is heavy. But if you want to be a slave and you want to be in bondage to the law, you can. You can make that choice. It's available to you. But understand that if you take back the yoke of the law, you turn your back on grace. Let me say that more clearly, because there are so many out there right now. They're getting caught up. They're going back to the law. They're going back to the very things that the Lord set us free from. And it's a trick of the enemy. It's great to observe the feast, understanding the meaning of the feast and how Yeshua is found in them. But it's not such an obligation that you've created or committed a sin if you don't. My obligation is to him. My obligation is to his love for me. Says Galatians 3, starting verse 10, "For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Galatians 5:3, "You are a debtor to keep the whole law." James 2:10 says, "You stumble in one point, you're guilty of all." Galatians 5:4, "You have become estranged from Messiah, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Now, what spirit would want you to be fallen from grace? What spirit would want you to be under the bondage to a law that you cannot possibly fulfill? It's not a Holy Spirit. It's one that wants to put you back in his chains. D.L. Moody said, "The law tells me how crooked I am. Grace comes along and straightens me out." So you have a choice. You can live under the old covenant. You can live under the new covenant. You can live under law or grace, but you can't do both, so you must choose. You must make a choice. Unfortunately, we live in a world that wants to weigh us down. We live in a world that is filled with stress, long hours, impossible demands, job security, heart disease, high blood pressure, alcoholism, mental illness are the consequences. Buy this, put it on this card, get this payment plan. And then something goes wrong, and now you can't meet the payment plan. Now they're calling you every day, 4, 5, 16, maybe once an hour. The stress that comes from that. Stress is killing us. It's costing $125 to $190 billion a year. That's workplace stress. 5 to 8% of our national spending is on health care related to stress. Paul Roche, president of the American Institute of Stress, see, there's even an institute for stress, says that it costs the U.S. industry $300 billion a year in lost productivity, insurance claim, health costs, accidents and replacing worn-out workers. You know what the number one mental health issue in North America is? Anxiety. One-third of the North American adult population experiences anxiety issues. Contributes to 90% of all diseases. Anxiety reduction is the largest single business in the Western world. We even stress about stress. According to recent studies, 7 in 10 Americans say stress levels interfere with their physical and mental well-being, causing irritability, anger, fatigue, feelings of being overwhelmed, sleep loss, and eating problems. You know what Oswald Chambers says about that? He says, worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. We're stressed about money. We're stressed about our jobs. We're stressed about the economy and politics, family responsibilities, relationships, family health problems, personal health problems. We're just stressed. Yet he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That sounds good, doesn't it? I've been guilty of the stress that I'm talking about. I've been guilty of putting onto myself higher expectations than he has for me. I've been guilty of taking on more than I can handle and then stressing about it to the point that cortisol, which is a reaction to the body from stress and how the body protects itself, which creates fat. Makes you more stressed because then you look in the mirror and you realized, I did this. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I know it. I knew it when I was doing it, but I couldn't stop. Why? Because the expectations that I needed to do, I needed to help him. You know, some people quote a scripture that's not a scripture. It's not even anywhere in the Bible or any kind of religious teaching. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Sorry, that's not true. He knows what I can and cannot do. My stress comes from the fact, and I'm going to be honest here, this is my time on the couch, if you will. It's not that I don't think he can do it. And it's not that I don't think he will do it. There are just times that I don't believe I'm worthy of it. I said this to a brother the other day that I was ministering to that's going through some horrific health problems. I said, do you believe God can heal you? He said, absolutely, brother. Do you believe that he will? And he got real quiet. And the answer was no. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think we've done enough. We blame ourselves. We put ourselves in this position. But yet, if we would just be transparent and say, Dad, I have really messed up here. I did this. You didn't. I took on this debt. I thought I could pay it. I thought I could do it. I took on more than I can handle. I started a relationship that I shouldn't have started. I got into a marriage or a partnership or whatever that you told me not to do, but now I'm in it, and it's become Ishmael. It's not Isaac. It's not your perfect will. It's your permissive will. Help. Either give me the peace to make it through or set me free from it. I believe 1 John 5, for everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. I know that. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God, defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Yeshua is the Son of God. Without him, you can't win. If you're not born again, you're not going to win. You may survive, you may endure, but you won't win. Victory truly is in Yeshua. But I want the better way. I want the free way. Not the freeway as in highway. I want the free way that he gave to me freely. I want the fruit of the Spirit. Do you want that? Am I just talking to me tonight? Galatians 5, verse 22 through 25, Amplified Version. I want you to get it all. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within us accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, which is benevolence, and faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and humility inside, self-control, self-restraint. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the godless human nature, which is their flesh, with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God the Father, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. There's the key. You can't do it alone. You can't walk it alone. The work is done by a regenerated human spirit, which is done by his blood through the Spirit. And he himself, the Holy Spirit, walks with us in our life. He's the comforter. He's the encourager. He's the one who whispers that word of freedom, that clue that you're looking for. Don't go down that road. Don't do that. Don't eat that. And when we look at the analogy of the fruit of the Spirit, it takes us back to the whole vine and branches thing of John 15. And the reason I am telling you this is because the rest we're looking for, the peace that we are looking for, flows from him through us to others. This is what he says, John 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. This is the New Living Translation. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do produce fruit so that they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain, abide in me, and I will remain, abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you abide in me. Take permanent residence. Remain. Don't wander away. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you get nothing else of those five verses, John 15, at the end of verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. He's the vine, we are the branches. The Holy Spirit is the sap that produces the fruit. You know what happens when we're disconnected from him? When we don't have the Holy Spirit, when we're apart, when we're a branch on the vine of the world, when we have partnered with HaSatan, when we have partnered with the world system, you know what it is? It's the fruit of the flesh. Verses 19 through 21 of Galatians 5. Immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, factions of sects with particular opinions, a party spirit, denomination, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Basically, what we want is salvation. And we want it in our hearts. Our hearts desire it, even if we don't know it. I've been ministering now almost 30 years. 30 years in less than a month. And it's all a matter of the heart. Everybody wants his freedom. Everybody wants his salvation. They just don't know it. And all I do is help them discover it. It's a call to salvation. It's a life of obedience to Messiah because he's guiding that life through our Holy Spirit. We have been invited to a relationship of intimacy with the humble, gentle teacher. Prophesied in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. This is what Paul tells Timothy, a servant of the Lord should be like. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I'll be honest, I haven't seen a whole lot of leaders who fulfill that admonition. Peace, the state of quietness, rest, harmony, order, security in the midst of turmoil, freedom from strife and temptations. In the privacy of wherever you are listening to this right now, I can ask this question. You can answer it without fear of exposure or recrimination. Are you at peace? Or are there areas of your life he has forced you into, relationships, situations, areas that are squeezing you? I've been there. I've had situations squeeze me and things that came out of me I thought had been dealt with and healed and delivered. And the visual the Lord gave me, you know, in Florida, the water, if not squeezed out of a sponge, becomes moldy, mildewy, begins to smell. And sponges, if not squeezed out and aired out properly, will do that and you have to throw them out. But you can look at that sponge, it may look good. It may initially smell good, but when you squeeze it really hard, you find out deep in the center of it, there's some moldy water. That's what happens to us. Circumstances squeeze us. And we say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Well, the answer is he's trying to show you, trying to show me, that there are things inside of us that still remain. There are parts of our flesh that have come back to life. There's parts of our old nature that have risen back up. We need to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, makes no earthly sense, will guard our hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. That's in every Bible. That's in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It's always there. But yet 80% of all pastors are discouraged or dealing with depression. 40% are suffering burnout over frantic schedules and unrealistic expectations. 53% of their wives are in depression. And that clergy burnout, most of them will leave after 5 years. What's wrong with this picture? I know it is. We've created a system that he wasn't in. Unrealistic expectations. We treat it as a business, a schedule. We can't just say, you know what? I'm not going in today. I'm going to stay home and pray. I'm going to hang out with my kids. Nope. You got to earn that salary. You better show up. You're not getting paid. Even the Lord took time out. Sometimes He even headed for the hills when the crowds were too great, and he knew that he wasn't either prepared to or called to minister to them. He wasn't driven by the desires of the crowd. He was driven by the desires of his Father. He knew that he had to get away. He knew what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. He understands what we feel. He understands what we were going through, and he sent the Holy Spirit to help us. When he was in the garden getting ready to be crucified, he began to sweat drops of blood from the stress of what he knew he was about to go through. He understands. He had the example of Mary and Martha. Mary laid at his feet, and Martha was all angry because she wasn't in the kitchen helping him cook and do religious activities. But he told her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary had discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Being a disciple, laying at his feet, shutting out the world, turning off the TV. The scores don't matter. It doesn't matter. The game won't change your life. That email can wait. We are not to worry about our life or what to eat or what to drink or about our body or about our clothing, because to him and in him, life is more than food. It's more than clothing. We don't need all of this because what the enemy has done is put us in bondage to him. You know, three decades ago, one in every 50 American was on some form of psychiatric drug. Today, it's one in six. Because true rest is not found in places or pills. It's found in a right relationship with the person and the Savior of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, who gives us rest. I want perfect peace. I don't want the world's peace. I don't want my symptoms masked. There's not really peace. You're just keeping me from knowing how stressed I am. I want to be in one body, one mind, one soul and spirit. I want to be lined up with him. And if there's something in my life keeping that from happening, I want it gone. Relationships, things that I've put upon myself to do. I will tell you this, my wife will probably confirm it if you ever ask her. There was a point where I couldn't say no. Somebody had a need, I went. I was running, gunning, burning myself. At every end, I've learned to say no. I've learned to listen to the Lord and say no. What is in your life right now that is keeping you from the peace? Why are you anxious? Why? Only you can answer that. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I can't help you find whatever the core issues are that are keeping you from what you want. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's the choice you've made. I don't know, but repent of it and ask him to help you to fix it. See, rest is not lying in soft beds of ease, free from all labor with no one to please. Rest is not quitting, no burden to bear. Rest is reclining in heart on his care. Rest can be found in trouble and pain when dark clouds are gathered and threatening rain. Rest is relief found in life's darkest hours. To know him and that he's with us, held by his power. Rest is not found by fulfilling our dreams. Dreams often vanish. Hope's lost, so it seems. Rest is the promise of our Lord made to all who faithfully trust him, refusing to fall. There remains a sweet rest for people of grace who enter that rest while seeking his face. This life so uncertain can never destroy the rest that is found when his will we enjoy. Rest is secured the hour of believing. Today you may enter his will now receiving. His yoke now is easy. The burden is light. He draws us near to comfort and steady our plight. Rest comes the moment you answer his call. Depend on him fully, no worry at all. Rest settles the mind, anxiety none. with love now abiding, the victory is won. That was Spiritual Rest, written by Phil Simmons. Father, you are our rest. You complete us. We are complete in you. Right now, for me and all my brothers and sisters, your children out there, shine your glory upon us and show us the areas we have not turned over to you. Shine your glory upon us and reveal to us those areas that are not in submission to you. Let us hear your voice. Clear our ears, clear the air. Get rid of all the distractions, Lord. We know that you care. We do. We believe. But we live in a restless world that wants us to be restless. But we want to be victorious. We want to walk in your rest. We want to set the captives free. We want to lead them into salvation. We want to lead them to the cross. Holy Spirit, help us right now, each and every one of us. In Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.